Stopping mass killings in Africa. Genocide, air power, and intervention. Edited by Douglas C. Pfeiffer, Ph.D. Air University Press, Maxwell Air Force Base, July 2008. Disclaimer. Opinions, conclusions, and the recommendations expressed or implied within are solely those of the editor and do not necessarily represent the views of the Air University, the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any other U.S. government agency. Cleared for public release, stopping distribution mass killings unlimited. In Africa. About the editor. Dr. Douglas C. Pfeiffer is an associate professor in the Department of Strategy and Leadership at the U.S. Air War College. He holds Master's of Arts and Doctor of Philosophy degrees in history from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with a concentration in modern European diplomatic and military history. Pfeiffer assembled this volume of case studies on operation responses to genocide as part of a project resulting from an elective he taught on the subject at the Air Command and Staff College in the spring of 2006. His publications include a book on the three German navies and articles in the Journal of Military History, War and History, War and Society, and the German Studies Review. His current research focuses on European securities issues, the interaction between history, culture, and foreign policy, stopping and the challenges posed in Africa. By genocide and mass killings. Preface. This monograph seeks to contribute to the urgent task of developing realistic strategies for preventing and stopping genocide and mass killings. Neither humanitarian operations in a passive environment nor combat operations serve as appropriate models for intervention geared specifically at stopping genocide. The concept of the UN Charter, Chapter 7, Peace Enforcement Operations, comes closest, but U.S., NATO, and UN doctrine on peace enforcement remains sketchy and ill-defined. The four case studies that comprise this monograph add an important ingredient to the literature on genocide intervention, in that they provide actionable strategic and operational ideas. Drawing upon the experience of Somalia, Rwanda, and the Côte d'Ivoire, the authors present thoughtful recommendations for the future based on lessons derived from the past. Each case study presents an analysis of the patterns of genocide within the specific historical and cultural settings, an assessment of the international and American response to deepening crises, and an array of recommendations for more effective intervention strategies compatible with the limited domestic support for humanitarian interventions. All the contributors to this volume are keenly aware of and concerned about the ongoing genocide in Darfur. But given the evolving developments in the region, ranging from attacks on the African Union, AU, peacekeepers, to ongoing efforts to organize a more robust AU-UN hybrid peacekeeping operation, UN-AU mission in Darfur, we felt that any assessment of the intervention efforts in Sudan would be incomplete and partial at this time. Instead, we encourage readers to consult the websites of various organizations dedicated to providing timely information, analysis, and assessments of ongoing genocides, mass killings, and intervention efforts. The case studies in this volume draw upon Somalia, Rwanda, and the Côte d'Ivoire, rather than Darfur, because these earlier crises allow historical distance, enabling assessments that will have a longer shelf life than those based on an ongoing, unfolding crisis. Aaron Steffen's examination of the lessons of Somalia provides a set of strategic and operational lessons more effective future responses to mass killings in Africa. Steffen's bases his recommendations upon a careful examination of the complex interaction between the United Nations-led UNISOM 1 and 2 operations and the U.S.-led Unified Task Force, UNITAF mission insists that the fact has much to do with the civil war as it did with challenges Iraq would enter. Defens maintains that the famine, which caused the death of some 400,000 Somalis in 1992, had as much to do with the civil war and the intentional manipulation of the dwindling food supplies by the warlords as it did with the environmental conditions. Intervention in Somalia, therefore, posed the same challenges as would intervention in response to future genocides or mass killings. These challenges include generating international and domestic support for action, coordinating international and national responses, and defining mission termination criteria. Stephens affirms that the prevention would have been much less expensive than the crisis intervention, pointing out a number of missed opportunities where the United Nations and United States failed to act. He suggests that the massive UNITAF operation, some 37,000 U.S. troops, left troubling, unsolved problems for its less robust UN successor, UNISOM II, setting the conditions for the October 1993 Battle of Mogadishu and the death of 18 U.S. servicemen. Stephens' strategic and operational lessons range from the importance of prevention to the need for political solutions and the necessity to disarm locals intent on preventing conflict settlement and resolution. Stephens' discussion of how the U.S. forces can best support regional intervention forces, such as the UAE's African Standby Force, will be of particular interest to the American military personnel posted to the U.S. African Command, the Unified Military Command established in 2007. The second and third case studies focus on the Rwandan genocide of April through July 1994. George Stanley poses four key questions in his analysis of Rwanda. First, why did Hutu extremists decide that genocide was a viable and effective alternative to the negotiated settlement of conflict as represented by the Arusha Peace Agreement? Second, how did the small group most committed to implementing genocide gain the necessary active cooperation of a broad portion of the public? Third, why did the United Nations and United States fail to intervene to prevent or to stop genocide in its planning and execution phase? Lastly, could the United States have intervened effectively? Drawing upon both Scott Feld's 1997 Army War College Research Report and Alan Cooperman's more widely disseminated 2001 book on the limits of humanitarian intervention, Stanley concludes that intervention could have been more effective than Cooperman suggests, but would have involved considerable risk. He correctly notes that the French Operation Turquoise of June 1994, sometimes cited as proof that intervention would have been low risk, encountered little resistance from the Hutu forces precisely because it served to prevent their opponents from overrunning the country. The reaction to Hutu extremists might have been very different 10 weeks earlier, before the tide of the civil war turned clearly against them. Stanley argues that the United States should have intervened despite the risk and offers an operator's perspective on how air power might have mitigated risk substantially, explaining how airlift, electronic jamming, reconnaissance, and direct attack might have contributed to the successes of an intervention effort. Stanley's insights into the role of air power in humanitarian genocide intervention operations draw upon the historic experience of Rwanda and have clear implications for future intervention strategies. Keith Reeves' analysis of the Rwandan genocide offers a thoughtful complement to Stanley's. Reeves approaches the subject from a different angle, using Rwanda as a case study to develop a model for rapid genocide intervention, RGI. Reeves recognizes the prevention strategies based on diplomatic, informational, and economical instruments of national power may be superior to military interventions in response to crisis conditions. Yet, how should the U.S. military respond to stop genocide if political leaders decide that something must be done once the killing is actually in progress? Reeves applies the tools of system analysis to the key nodes of the vulnerabilities of genocide systems. His RGI concept could be implemented to disrupt or impede the process of genocide, buying valuable time for the international community and regional powers to devise long-term solutions that address underlying causes. Carefully dissecting the Rwandan killing machine to uncover its components and connections, Reeves asserts that the effective intervention requires three elements. These elements, which he dubs the intervention trinity, are rapid theater mobility, focused intelligence, and broad-based resolve. His analysis concludes with the discussion of the composition of an ideal genocide intervention force. The final case study in this collection focuses on the successful prevention of mass killing or genocide. As Timothy Boyer points out, the Côte d'Ivoire teetered on the edge of genocide in the fall of 2002, exhibiting the same dangerous mix of ethnic tension, a civil war, and an ideology of intolerance that characterized Rwanda prior to its descent into slaughter. Boyer's analysis explores how France, the economic community of West African states, and the United Nations responded to the crisis in the Côte d'Ivoire, illustrating that under the right conditions, regional and international actors other than the United States can intervene effectively. By enabling others to intervene through air power, logistical and communication support, the United States can promote effective intervention without directly committing U.S. peacekeeping troops. Stopping Mass Killings in Africa is written from the perspective of military officers who may well be tasked with translating political directives to stop the killing into realistic operational plans. As editor, I included the introductory chapter defining genocide, democide, and mass killings, summarizing the key models for understanding how and then when the mass killings unfolded, and acknowledging various efforts underway that study how best to stop mass killings. Clearly, prevention is far preferable to intervention, both in terms of effectiveness and in terms of cost. Unfortunately, public awareness and support for doing something tends to be limited during the period when preventive actions are feasible, low cost, and most effective. Only as the situation slips into overt mass killings does pressure build for action. The editor and contributors fully understand that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of intervention, but content that the U.S. military and Air Force in particular needs to be prepared to act when situations become catastrophic. Military intervention to stop genocide should be a last resort, and pressure and assistance should be brought into bear before genocide watches and warnings become genocide emergencies. The monograph concludes with a chapter summarizing the key recommendations made by Stephens, Stanley, Reeves, and Boyer, and developing some of my own thoughts on the possible role of air power in genocide intervention operations. This monograph places a unique emphasis on the potential contributions of air power to genocide intervention, but the officers who contributed to this collection have taken a broader perspective that explores the regional and international responses where America's role may be mainly supportive. The collection will be of a particular value to military officers responsible for humanitarian intervention in Africa, but will be of interest to all who seek to generate the practical solutions that will help render never again more than empty rhetoric. Douglas Carl Pfeiffer, Ph.D., Associate Professor, Air War College. The following edited volume grew out of a 2006 seminar led by Dr. Douglas Pfeiffer at the Air Command and Staff College at the Air University, Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. Initially conceived as an academic seminar analyzing the causes, conduct, and consequences of genocide and mass killing, the seminar embraced the challenges of exploring how the U.S. military might contribute to genocide prevention. The interplay between Pfeiffer's academic background in history and Holocaust studies and the operational expertise of mid-career Air Force and Navy pilots, logisticians, and combat support specialists made for lively and informed discussions about operational responses to genocide and mass killings. The contributors to this volume would like to thank you and professors at ACSC for providing an environment that enabled discussion and research on issues that fall outside the mainframe of professional military studies. Given the frequent deployments and high-tempo operation of today's military professionals, the student scholars whose papers were selected for publication extend a particular word of thanks to their families. Aaron Stephens thanks his two beautiful girls, Jennifer and Samantha, for their unfailing support. Keith Reeves thanks his ever-supportive wife and best friend, Tess, for listening to his endless griping about writer's block, and his daughters, Jessica and Jalen, for reminding him of the important things in life. Tim Boyer owes a debt of gratitude to his lovely wife, Lisa, for her support and encouragement, and to the friendly and patient staff at AU Library and helping work through the maze of reference material. George Stanley would like to thank his beautiful wife, Londa, and his wonderful children, Scott and Alina, for their patience and faithful encouragement during the research project. All four thank Dr. Pfeiffer for his enthusiastic support and guidance during the seminar while researching and writing and throughout the publication process. Douglas Pfeiffer would like to thank all the members of the 2006 seminar on genocide and intervention for their insights and contributions. At Air University, he would like to thank Chris Kane, Shirley Lassiter, Dan Mortensen, Stephen Burgess, Kevin Hall-Zimmer, and others for pushing this project forward. Special thanks to James Howard and Darlene Barnes for their unstinting support in editing and preparing the manuscript. Pfeiffer would like to single out Gerhard Weinberg for stimulating his interest in genocide studies and Zev Weiss for enabling his participation in the Northwestern University's Summer Institute on the Holocaust. Last but not least, he thanks Beth, his parents, and his four wonderful sons for their support and love.